Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't he? All the time. Thank you, Brother Portman. Give honor to Pastor and Sister Schumacher and the privilege it is to be able to study the Word of God and get deeper and find more and get more of God and allow God to share stuff with our hearts, my heart, work on me and get all these rough edges that I've got, trying to get them smoothed off, and he's got to keep working because there's lots to work to do here. But God's given me a message, and I had finished it up Friday on my lunch hour at work, and went out to dinner that night, and we were in the parking lot of the restaurant, and Pastor happened to call me and asked me to preach, and I said, well, I just finished a message, so the timing is great, and I feel like it's for tonight. If you'll turn, you can put the first slide up there. I'm going to talk about watchmen tonight. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 13, we're going to start there. I also want to give honor to my wife as long as I'm up here. Appreciate all the time she lets me study or do what I've got to do to get messages put together and seek God's face. Amen. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. If you got it, say amen. It says, take ye heed, watch. Everyone say watch. And pray. For ye know not when the time is come. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Everyone say watch. Verse 35, watch. Everyone say watch. And therefore, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he would find you not watching and asleep. Hope I don't put anybody asleep tonight. Amen. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. And everyone say, watch. And then if you'll turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, and I have set watchmen, everyone say watchmen, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Amen. Jesus, I pray tonight, God, that you will allow your servant to take the words that you've put in my heart and my mind and this burden, Lord God, and just share it with your church. God, just to allow your spirit to minister, Lord. Let me be a conduit, Lord God, to allow this burden, God, to allow your hand to move. Let your spirit have liberty tonight, God. Allow your power to minister tonight. Have your way, Jesus. God, it's nothing that I can say, Lord God, that would change a heart. God, but it's your hand that would come down and touch someone tonight, God, that would change people and make us more like you. Allow your spirit to minister. Allow your hand to minister. We turn this service, Lord God, into your hands right now, God, for you to do the work, Lord. Have your way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, little Johnny was bugging his dad for a watch. He was talking to him and said, hey, all the kids at school got watches, Daddy. I want to get a watch for my birthday. I got to have a watch. He'd take watches and cut them out of magazines and show them to his dad. Every time he'd be around his dad, he'd say, what time is it? I need a watch. And his dad finally got kind of, you know, a little angry and said, hey, you know, quit bugging me about this. You told me you want one. I see all your friends have one. At church, he'd bring his friends up and show his friends their watches and show his dad and stuff. So that they were having dinner on Tuesday night, and after dinner time, they all would share their favorite scripture. And so Johnny got Mark 13:37. He got ready, and it was his turn, and dad says, okay, Johnny, what's your scripture? And he read that. And I say unto you all, and I say unto you all, watch. Okay, Johnny had a watch on his mind. All right? That's not the kind of watch I'm talking about, but I'm going to talk tonight about the watchman in the Word of God. The watchman was the first line of defense of a fortified city. They stood on the watchtower. They were trained specialists. They weren't just people that wanted to go up and walk along the city walls. But like the Secret Service is trained to guard the president, these watchmen were trained to watch for the enemy. They were trained to peer out and look over the hills and look over the rocks and look around the trees and look around different things that were outside the city. And they were stationed in specific places on the walls of the city to look for the enemy. And the watchman means one who looks out, one who spies, one who watches, peering into the future, as it were, looking for anything that would bring harm to the city. They were the first alarm. They were the alert. Watchmen performed some very important functions in Bible days, and they still do today as well. And I want to share with you four functions of the watchman. And the first function is the watchman would watch the crops. In the Bible times, people were very dependent on the crops that they planted. Not just for to feed their family in the city and to maybe sell some of the crops and have some cash to buy some other stuff. But if their crops failed, starvation was a reality. They didn't have, Piggly Wiggly and Woodman's and Walmart. They had to grow their stuff. They had to take their stuff and grow it, and then they had markets. But if they didn't grow it, if they didn't take it to market, it wasn't like it is today. And they would set up watchmen in their vineyards to watch the crops. They would set up watchmen to guard against enemies that would come in, and their enemies would want to come in. Sometimes they'd just trample the crops down so they couldn't produce. Sometimes they'd come in and they'd bring all kinds of bad seeds or salt, and they would put it on the crops, and the crops wouldn't produce. Or as it got closer to harvest, they would come in and steal the crops that were growing. You know, they had apricot vineyards, and they had melon vineyards and olive vineyards, and you know, they had all this stuff. And the enemies would come in and just really try and annihilate them by eliminating their food. So the watchman would watch the crops. Matthew 6:33. You don't have to turn there, but it says, here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and he hedged around about it, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and it let out to husbandmen, and rented it out, and he went to a far country. But he built a tower so that they could watch over their vineyard so the people wouldn't come and steal their crops. Another one was, watchmen would watch over cities. Another function of the watchmen, they would stand on the walls, and I had mentioned before, cities had gates around them, and you could only get in through certain points in the city. And they would stand guard, and they would watch those gates. And they were trained to watch people that were coming in. They were trained to look for what the enemy might be bringing in. They were trained to look for spies. They were trained to look out for the safety of the people inside the city. They were trained to look for the safety of their families. They were trained to look out. And then their second function, if they saw something that didn't look right, if they saw an enemy, they had to sound the alarm. They had a trumpet, and they would sound a trumpet, and the trumpet would go out and be loud. And then the guards down below would know to shut the gates, get all the people in, get ready for battle. Something's happening. They would have to sound an alarm. So they were guarding the crops. They were guarding the cities. And then watchmen were prophets. The prophet had a duty to deliver a sobering message in the Bible days. unless the citizens of Israel or Judah or the Old Testament acknowledged their sins and turned from their sins and repented and began to live like God wanted them to and obey the laws of God, they would get punished. There was consequences to not living for God. And so the watchman would have to tell them the message that God wanted them to deliver. And regardless of how the individuals responded to the warning that the watchman gave them, regardless if they repented or not, the prophet had done his job, or the watchman had done his job, and the blood of the people were not on that watchman's hands anymore. Only if the prophet failed to deliver the message would the people's blood be on that prophet's hands. And it's like Jonah, if he would not have gone to Nineveh, and Nineveh would have been destroyed, those blood of the Ninevites would have been on Jonah's hands. Ezekiel chapter 33, 1 through 9. Says, again, the word of the Lord came saying unto me, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet to warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head, because the watchman warned him, but he didn't take heed. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, or the watchman's blood, I will require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, so thou, Ezekiel, I have set thee a watchman. Ezekiel was a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his day, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at his hand, at thy hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So Ezekiel would be cleared. And the same thing, if you flip to the beginning of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, God's talking to Ezekiel again. Ezekiel 3:17, and it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore give thy word at thy mouth, give them warning for me. And verse 20 says, and again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. His righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn a righteous man, and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Thou also hast delivered thy soul. So verse 20 and 21 kind of explain an aspect. If a righteous man turns to sin, or as we say, if they backslide or if they leave the church, they would suffer a penalty. But if the watchman told him and the watchman warned him, then the watchman would not have that person's blood on his hands. This would help help motivate individuals to stay firm in the faith, and the choice that the watchman had to defend their soul. Part of the watchman's message was showing people how to live and how to maintain their faith. It was not just a harsh message focused on pointing out their problems. They had to live by example. And if the goal is to get people to turn to the Word of God, then the message must be also to show the benefits of doing so. It must show a positive way of life. It must, you and I must have a better way to live. We have to have a more positive way and to share a better way of live, to live. That's what God desires his people to live, a better way. What did God think about his watchmen in the days of Isaiah? Isaiah 56 verse 10 says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, they love to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, and everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Come, ye, they say, I will fetch wine, and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today is, and much more abundant. This is what God thought of the watchman back in Isaiah chapter 56. Does anyone want to hire a deaf watchman? A mute watchman? A blind watchman? So how's this job interview going to go? You know, what makes you going to be the best watchman if I'm going to hire you to get on my wall and watch the city gates? Well, I'm blind, and sometimes I can't hear very good, and I'm not real extroverted. I don't like to talk too much, and you know, but hey, I'll party at the drop of a hat. No problem. I'll be there. You know, what kind of watchman is that? What was God saying here? God was assessing the spiritual leaders of the day. He was assessing where their hearts were. Blind. We're in big trouble if our spiritual leaders are blind. Blind to the truths of the infallible Word of God. Blind to the simple plan of salvation. Blind to what the Word says. It says that they were shepherds that didn't understand. They were ignorant to know or to perceive or to distinguish what God is trying to say to the spiritual leaders in Israel. They were unable to perceive what was going on in their flocks. They didn't know what was happening. They couldn't understand God's will, the people's needs, or to tell them what was brewing on the horizon. Blind, ignorant, they were mute. The job of the watchman, like I said, is twofold. Number one, they had to see the enemy. Number two, they had to alert the people with coming danger. When they saw the work of the enemy, they said nothing. What kind of watchman would that be? Leaders, they were in it for their own gain, not for the people. They're in it for their own partying. Not for the people that they're supposed to care for. This is the watchman of the day that Isaiah wrote about in chapter 56. They were spiritually dead. They were asleep. And they were in it for their own pleasure. Name it and claim it. Just send me your offering. No, they were not the kind of watchman that you want. Unfortunately, there are some still around like this today. Watchmen are to show people how to live by example, living the life God desires his people to live, and maintain their faith. It wasn't just to point out the negative things or the things that people had to change. If the goal is to get people to obey the word of God, then the message must also show the benefits of doing so. It must show the positive, better way of life God desires for his people to live. And the role of the watchman today is not limited only to speaking about sins of this world and problems of this world, but it's to proclaim the good news of salvation. To say, hey, I've got something better for you. Hey, I see what you've got, and that's awesome. But let me share something else with you. Because if the watchman didn't tell people what was going on, the blood was on their hands. Isaiah 52, 6. If we can turn there. Let's take a closer look at the watchman. What Isaiah tells us about those that would preach the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52:6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know it in the day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together they shall sing, as we did tonight. For they shall see eye to eye in unity, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Beautiful picture of the church. And flip over to 62 verse 1. Isaiah 62 verse 1. Prophecy about the present day church. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles, you and I, shall see the righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. We know the name tonight. What is the name? Which shall the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory. You are a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. You are not forsaken. Neither shalt thy land be any more termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hetzpatha, and thy land Beulah. And I thought, man, what does that mean when I was reading this? And I looked up the word Hetzpatha, and it means my delight in her is in her. And I looked up who she was, and she was a queen. And I thought, my God. I looked up the word Beulah. It's only used once in the whole Bible. You know what it means? It means bride. And thy land, Beulah means bride. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. We're going to be married. We're going to be a bride married to the king. For as a young man married a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as thy bridegroom rejoices over the bride, he's here tonight. And he's rejoicing over you, his bride. So shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, O church, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Share your testimony. Tell people what you have. Show them the word of God. Be a watchman of the hour. And give him no rest till he be established, and till he maketh Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. Your enemies aren't going to eat your corn. They're not going to eat your substance. And the sons of thy strangers shall not drink thy wine, for which thou hast labored. Strangers aren't going to take what you have. But if you witness to them and show them what you have, and they come in your family and they share your new wine, they're not strangers anymore. They're family now, and they can partake of the new wine. But they which have gathered it shall eat it. And praise the Lord. And they that have bought it together shall drink it in the courts of thy holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. But lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out and not forsaken. Amen. Can you worship him Jesus, I thank you, Lord, God, for calling me out. God, for not forsaking me. God, for allowing me to know who you are. God, for allowing your spirit to be in my heart. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We see the watchman given a role to a group of people in this verse, charged with a prayer meeting for the well-being of Israel. These people, by their presence and by their prayers, seek to keep the city from the suffering, raging effects of Israel. These passages paint that Isaiah paints an image of godly people who are given a unique vision into the world of today and in the world to come. They understand the application of the kingdom of God. They see that God will bring a kingdom to earth to offer salvation, not just to Israel, but to all nations, to the Gentiles. They saw the reuniting of the tribes of Israel at the promised land as the beginning of times and as a restoration of all things spoken by Peter in Acts. This is written about you and I today, the church. But they also have insight into the church world, into the world of the end times, of the end of the age. They see dark gathering clouds on the world's horizon that spell the end of Satan's reign as the god of this world and the author of all its evil. This land leads them to the Mount of to mount on the walls of society and shout a warning that all will hear. To say God is sovereign. He will bring a time of judgment. But if you're in the family, if you're in the city, if you're in the church, if you listen to the watchmen, people that hide his truth will not be destroyed. The message also contains a warning to people to repent and to receive God's blessing, or ignore it and face the face of God when he's looking at you as a judge. It's a double-edged message. It's plain, it's spoken, but yet it's full of hope. Fulfilling the role of a watchman requires courage and perseverance and a love for the people addressed. One of the best examples of this is Jeremiah, our watchman, our prophet Jeremiah. He spent more than 40 years in the role of a watchman to the nation of Judah, urging people to heed his warnings. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in his ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." This is the watchman. "But they said, we will not walk therein. I also set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye, O nations, and now, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon the people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." That's what Jeremiah wrote. And then there's Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to read a little story. It's actually out of a different version of the Bible. But when I read this, and I was reading it out of this mess. I don't even know what version it was, but the story just came to life. It says, "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger, vilifying the Jews. In the company of his Samaritan cronies and the military, he let loose. 'What are those miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? They're making stones, they're making make-believe stones out of nothing.' At his side, Tobiah the Ammonite jumped in and said, 'Ha, that's right. Who do they think they are? What do they think they're building? Why, a fox could climb that wall and it would fall to pieces under its weight.' But Nehemiah prayed, 'Oh, listen to us, dear God. We are so despised boomerang their ridicule upon their own heads. Have their enemies cart them off as war trophies to a land of no return. Don't forgive their iniquity. Don't wipe away their sin. They've insulted the builders. Verse 6, we kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart for work. Then Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard of the repairs of the walls of Jerusalem were going so well that the breaks of the wall were being fixed. They were absolutely furious. They put their heads together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. We countered with prayer to our God, and we set a round-the-clock guard against them. But soon the gossip got going, and the word got around Judah. The builders are pooped. The rubbish is piling up. They're in over their heads. They can't build this wall. And all this time, our enemies were saying they won't know what hit them. Before they know it, we'll be at their throats, killing them left and right. Oh, that'll put a stop to the work. The Jews, who were their neighbors, they kept reporting, "They have us surrounded. They're going to attack. If we heard it once, we heard it 10 times. So what did I do? I stationed armed guards or watchmen. Everyone say watchmen. At the lowest point, say lowest point, of the wall and the most vulnerable places of the wall. Say most vulnerable. And the exposed places. Say exposed places. So they took armed guards and they put them at the lowest point, at the most vulnerable points, at the exposed places of the wall, and they assigned people by families with their swords and their lances and bows. And after looking things over, I stood up and spoke to the nobles and the officials everywhere. I said, "Don't be afraid of them. Put your minds on your master, great and awesome, and then fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Fight." Our enemies learned that we knew about their plan and that God had frustrated it. And we went back to the wall and we went to work. From then on, half of my young men worked while the other half stood guard as watchmen with lances and shields and bows and mail armor. Military officials served as a backup for everyone in Judah who was at work rebuilding the wall. The common laborers held a tool in one hand and they held a sword in the other hand, or a bow, or a dagger, and they kept working, and they had shields, and a trumpeter at my side would sound an alert if something was going on. Verse 19, then I spoke to the nobles and officials everywhere. There's a lot of work going on, and we're spread out all along the wall, separating us from each other. When you hear the trumpet call, join us here, and God will fight for us. So we kept working. From the first light till the stars came out at night, half of us holding lances and half of us building the wall. So I instructed the people, each person and his helper, to stay inside Jerusalem. Watchmen by night, workmen by day. We slept in our clothes. I and my brothers, my workmen, and the guards backing me up. Each one of us kept a spear in a hand. Even when getting water, we kept our spear in the hand. Speaking of water. What is your exposed place tonight? What is your family's exposed place tonight? Where is the enemy most likely to attack you? What is the area of weakness that you repeatedly trip up on? We all have one. We're hopelessly flawed, and we have common struggles, yet we all have specific individual areas of weakness that the enemy loves to exploit. And he comes back to the same breach in the wall every time. He He comes back to the same weakness every time. He doesn't try and go to where you're strong. He comes back when you're weak. He comes back where you're weakest. As individuals, He hits us. As families, He hits us. Our children, our marriages. And He doesn't stop. So we have to have a sword in one hand and a tool in the other and say, God, I've never given up. I'm going to work at this no matter what it takes. And we've got to work in the world and do our jobs and do our things. But we have to hold the sword in our hand and say, if the enemy comes, I've got this hidden in my heart. And when the enemy comes and knocks on your door and that temptation comes against you again for the fourth and fifth time, you can say, and you quote a scripture against it. If you have a problem with lying, or if you have a problem with depression, or if you have a problem with lust, you can memorize scriptures. And when the enemy comes against you at that weakness, you can get the sword out and jab him one. Be on your guard. The enemy is always going to try and expose your weak area. Watchmen in the New Testament, the word is used, but it's translated differently. It's translated sober, alert, or watch. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. If you want to turn there, you can. I've got it found here, so I'm not going to wait for you. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not in the night nor in the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. Everyone say watch and be sober. You've got to watch for your family. You've got to watch for those exposed places. We've all got places that are more vulnerable than others. Some of you study history. In Canada, there was a battle called the Battle of Quebec. And the French had taken this city, and they had a fortified fort. And there's no way an enemy could get to it. The wall was like straight up. And they had fortified it, and they were there. But a General Wolfe from England came over, and he decided he would take on the French. And they went up this very steep cliff. And the French had let down their guard because they thought no one can get in here. No one can win. No one can get up this cliff. No one can win this battle. But General Wolfe attacked, and he beat the French, and he took the city because they let their guard down and didn't think it could be attacked. Didn't think they could be taken over. The watchmen weren't watching like they should. How many of saw a big horse made out of wood in front of a city gate? The enemy couldn't get in. The watchmen were there, and they couldn't penetrate the city. So they finally decided, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build this huge horse, and we're going to put it in front of the city gates. And we're going to fake like we're going to leave. We're going to put a whole bunch of armed men inside this horse, put it on wheels, and we're going to leave. And they took off and faked like they left in their boats. And this day went by, 2 days went by, 3 days went by. And finally the city people thought, what is this horse out here? This great big wooden horse. Open the gates and bring that horse in. Let's take a look at it. And so they opened the gates and they brought that horse in and they shut the gates, and instantly, boom, out of that wooden horse came 20, 30 guys, and they started fighting, and they opened the gates back up, and the enemy from the outside rushed in, and they took the city because they let their guard down. In the New Testament, we don't read about a lot of watchmen, but we see the work. We see the word watch translated in Acts chapter 2, verse 20. It says, take heed or watch, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased by his own blood. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy, take heed or watch unto thyself as unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing it thou shalt both save thyself and they that hear thee. God is saying watch. He's using the job as a watchman that everyone in that society could understand. In that culture, they knew what a watchman was. And so he was using that term. He was using that word to be a watchman. How many of you are head of households here tonight? Raise your hand. If you're the head of your household, raise your hand. You are the watchman for your household. God has anointed you and put a special calling on you for you to get your household saved, for you to lead your household, for you to watch for danger for your household, for you to not allow the enemy come into your household. David says in Psalm 130, verse 5 through 8, I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. More than the watchman wants the morning to come, and that third shift is a drag, I've done it before, and the watchman's out there and it's dark and he can't see what's going on, but more than the watchman's looking for the morning, I say more than they that are watched for the morning, he says it twice, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's our Jesus, redeeming us from our sins. You see, the night was a hard time for the watchmen. It was harder to see the sneak attacks of the enemy. They had to stay extra alert. Plus, the night can be a long time. Anyone knows that. Your eyes get heavy and you want to fall asleep. Watchmen had made signals. And they would be talking to each other, even though people didn't know it. They would try and keep each other awake. Woo-hoo! They knew that was a code. The other guy would answer him, woo-hoo! You know, they had this language going on. They had these signals that they made to each other. And you and I have signals we can talk to each other about. If you see a brother in the church giving off the wrong signal, or you see an individual giving off the wrong signal, you need to talk to them. You need to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? I thought you were a watchman. I thought you were watching with me. What's going on in your life? Isaiah 21:11. Says, he calleth me watchman. What of the night? Watchman, what of the night? How far is the night gone? What the watchman said, the morning cometh, but also the night. It may not be the darkest before the morning naturally, but it sure is in the spiritual realm. And church, it's getting darker in this world as the coming of Jesus Christ gets nearer. As morning draws near, it's getting darker. How far gone is the night? How dark will it get? How long will it last? You and I know this world is out of whack politically. It's out of whack morally. It's out of whack environmentally. It's out of whack socially. It's out of whack medically. Least to say it's out of whack spiritually. The Bible does not tell us the day nor the hour that he'll come back. But it does say watch for signs. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Mark chapter 13, verse 28 says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. Mark 13:28. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth her leaves, ye know summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see the things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be done. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What of that day? The hour knoweth no man, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Verse 33, take heed to watch. Everyone say watch. And pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey. And that's our opening scripture that we read. We need to watch for the work of the enemy. We need to watch for our exposed places. We need to watch for weaknesses, not only in our life, but our brothers and sisters. Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people, a strong, there hath not ever been like, neither shall there be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. And down to verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting. Everyone say fasting. And with weeping, say weeping. And mourning, say mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is graceful and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and hath repented him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. But 15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation as the assembles of the elders. Gather the children and those that suck of the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. It's time to get out of our closet. The bride to come out, to share this with people, to be the watchman God called us to be. Matthew 7:18 says, Jesus is saying, you want to be a watchman? You want to be alert? You want anointing power from God? Jesus says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of them, and the child was cured at that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. But verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, not by prayer and fasting. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. You want to turn there quick? And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and said unto him, why did the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples don't fast? Fast not. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and those days they shall fast in those days. And no man also soweth a piece of new cloth in an old garment, lest a new piece that fill it up taketh away from the old, and is rent and made worse. And no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine spilled out, and the bottles be marred, but the new wine must be put into bottles. Jesus is talking about, the Pharisees are talking about fasting here, and Jesus says, hey, they'll fast when I'm gone, basically. And then he talks about this new wine and putting bottles in new wine. And I thought, what does this have to do with it? But what Jesus is saying is fasting prepares you for a new anointing, something you have not yet experienced. God cannot put new kind of wine in old skins. If you want new miracles, if you want a new anointing, if you want a new closeness with God, a more intimate relationship with God, we need to fast and shed some of the old skin for some new skin to prepare to get a new anointing. Our last scripture we're going to look up tonight is in 2 Chronicles. If you'll turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 2, I'm sorry, 20, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the children other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. A whole bunch of people are going to fight Jehoshaphat. And then there came that saying to Jehoshaphat, saying, hey, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hexon and Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of the Lord of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And you can skip over to 15. And he hearkened all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed for this reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Go tomorrow, go down against them, and behold, they come up the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, wherefore the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, and they worshipped him. And the Levites and the children of the Canaanites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God with Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, they praise the Lord for his mercy and doeth forever. As you see up there, they put singers out there. And you know, we've heard the story before. Singers won the battle. But it was the prayer and getting before God and the fasting that really gave them the strength to win the battle. And if you go down to verse 24, it says, and when Judah came to the watchtower, the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen into the earth, and none escaped. And verse 26 says, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves together in the, well, verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil away from them, they found among them abundance of riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves and more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil. It was so much. So Jehoshaphat called a whole fast for the whole town, and God gave them the victory. Church, it's dark. We need a fresh anointing. I would like all the watchmen here today to stand up. If you're ahead of your household, I want you to stand up. I want you to come down to the front, and I want you to line, make a line across here. I want you to make a line if you're the head of your household. Male or female, it doesn't matter. If you're the head of your household, come down. I want you to line up, and I want you to stand here. I want you to turn around, and I want you to look at the congregation. Things are going to happen in 2014 that you need direction on for your family. Things are going to happen. Judah was surrounded on all sides, and like these enemies, you could be surrounded on all sides. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, the very first Gentile saved, what was his method to get the power of God and save his whole family? His name was Cornelius. We know that, right? Cornelius was a man in Caesarea. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, one that A, feared God with all his house. B, he gave much alms to the people. And C, he prayed to God always. But verse 30, sometimes it's not read because it's 26 verses later. It says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Cornelius was fasting and praying and giving alms. That's where he got his power. Paul said, in watchings often, in fastings often, his strength came from fasting. We need a fresh new anointing. We need to go deeper with our spiritual walk. Are you waiting on God's promise for you? The last example in my lesson tonight is Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 27. Anna served God with fastings and prayers day and night. So who was Anna? She's only mentioned in the Bible here. She was waiting for the coming Messiah. She knew Jesus was going to come. She had been told. There are many things in Anna's life of 84 years that were bitter, that were disappointing. Number one, she lost her husband after 7 years. He died. And she lived the rest of her life single. She had no children, but she was allowed to occupy the temple. And that speaks volumes about her character. But one of the key words I see in Anna's life is focus. She didn't look back with regret, but rather she looked forward with hope. One thing that alone can change the way you and I live. Think of the wasted energy we spend on regret. Although Anna knew heartache and loss, She focused on the hope that was to come. When Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy, he identified himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. And that's how Anna lived her life, waiting patiently for Jesus Christ, who is our hope. It wasn't just her past that was harsh. Anna lived under the cruel reign of Herod the Great. Like Anna, we have chose to where we focus our attention. We can choose where we focus our attention. Where are you focusing your attention as you wait on God's promise to you? Anna was focusing on God's promise, and Jesus Christ came to her as a baby. Luke chapter 2, it's an awesome story. But like Brother Portman preached Sunday night, or Sunday morning, we need more than a sanctuary experience. We need to go into the holies of holies. Church, we need to do more. We need to fast and pray to get the mind of God and be the watchman God has called us to be. Our enemy hates it when we pray, when we sacrifice to God. Look at what he did to Jesus when Jesus was fasting. What did he come to Jesus with? He focused on Jesus. He tried to put Jesus' focus on his hunger. And what does the devil do when you and I are sacrificing? He tries to put our focus on, oh, don't do that for God. Don't do that for God. What reward is it? He tries to take our focus off, just like he did Jesus. But the Bible says, and Jesus said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we get serious and develop a hunger for deeper things for God, he will fill us. Hungry people are desperate people. Ask the Syrophoenician woman. Ask Cornelius. As I gave you examples tonight, if you want to go deeper, if you want to be like Jehoshaphat and have your battles won, if you want to be like Cornelius and have your family saved, if you want to be like Anna and see the Messiah and your dreams and hopes come true, we need to do more than just come to church and worship. We need to do more than just pray a little bit in the morning or at night. We need to sacrifice something for God. We need to fast. I've got, God has asked me tonight to take and anoint everyone here that is a household member. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore thy God hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. I have found David with my servant, my holy oil have I anointed him. But my horn shall exalt thee like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Every one of you are watchmen. Every one of you are on the wall. Jesus Christ has called you because he put you in the place where you are. He has anointed you. I'm going to anoint you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you are watchmen. God has put you in a position to win your family, to win your kids, to win your grandkids. There is hope that we have. You have a hope in the name of Jesus Christ. You are watchmen. You are called to go above and beyond the call of duty. Fasting is not just going without food. You can fast other things as well. You can do media fast. You can do different kinds of fast. But as 2014 approaches, you watchmen are going to need more power. You watchmen are going to need God. You watchmen are going to need this anointing. And I'm just placing this on your head as a reminder, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon you. The anointing of God, that you can be the watchman God has called you to be. That you can do what God has called you to be. That you can lead your children. You can lead your grandchildren. You can lead the people you work with. You can lead your wives. You can lead your husbands. You can lead your family to Jesus Christ. You are all watchmen in the name of Jesus. And I anoint you with this holy oil like the prophets were anointed, like the watchmen were anointed, that Jesus Christ will do something in your heart, that you'll have a stronger desire, that you will know that there is a time. We know not the hour. We know not the day. We know not the time when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And you are watchmen and you are called. You are called to talk and to shout the warning. And now I'd like everyone that you belong, someone who is your watchman, I want you to come up and let your watchman pray for you.
I want you to come up right now and let your watchman lay his hand upon you or lay her hand upon you if you're a child. I want you to come up tonight and allow the watchman to pray for you and anoint you with oil and say, God, I'm a watchman for this family. God, it's my responsibility for this family. I take responsibility. And if your family's not here tonight, close your eyes and pray for them and say, God, I commit myself to 2014. I will do more for you. I promise, God, I will fast. I will allow your power to minister to my heart. I'll allow your spirit to minister to my life. Jesus, in your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that your power would minister. I pray a hedge around my wife right now. God, that your spirit would minister through her. God, that she would be protected. God, that your anointing would bless her and protect her, God. That your hand would minister in her life, God. Jesus.